If you'd like to grab your Bibles or your Bible app, we'll have a look at Acts chapter 16. And you can turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 16, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter. Acts 16, 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." When they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house, then they spoke. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. I'll hand over to Stu. And Stu, what's the most important question you've asked or answered this week?
Thanks, Bronwyn. Just quickly, in terms of Acts 16, before I answer, and I'm going to take the liberty of doing Dylan's and picking two questions. So Acts 16, this week in DNAs, it won't be in your term booklets. This is an additional week due to Celebration Sunday not meeting today. So if you go to today's blog, our Sunday scattering, you'll find a study to Acts 16. As well, you can use the Swedish method that you've been doing across this term, that you will have noticed there was a few studies that were missing. We had date changes with Equip Night, so that was reflective in our term booklets. But in terms of two questions, some questions had to ponder, was yesterday, what do you do? What do you do with this new freedom At least for our family and a few from our gospel community, it was head to the ocean. So we spent a couple of hours down at Evans Head yesterday, which was tremendous. Second question that we've been posing is, as Tim shared this morning, is to think about staffing for 2022. So this Friday, I'll be doing an update on a contingency for the family's pastor position for 2022. So you can head to our Facebook page or to the website to find some info there on the pastor's post this Friday. Let me pray. Keep your Bibles open there to Acts 16. Let's pray. Our Father, please help us to know the beautiful salvation you offer us and the great joy that comes by knowing Christ that fills our homes. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what must I do to be saved? Now, how would the people across the road from you answer that question? What about across the nation of Australia? What about across the world? How would people answer that question? For some, it might be we need to lower emissions. That's how we need to save our world. For others, it could be we need to increase literacy levels. That's how we save the world. For others, it might be get vaccinated. That's how we save the world. Now, that's what the world might say, but what does the Word say? What does God's Word, the Bible, say about that question? Well, today we head to our final passage in our biblical theology series on mission to get an answer to that exact question. Today you heard it, as Bronwyn read, the jailer asked it in Acts 16. And so now we're going to listen, we're going to delve into the answer that Paul and Silas gave. I wonder if it will mirror your answer. Well, let's head there now to find out. Well, what do you say to the one who likely saw over your flogging and now stands before you trembling? Isn't that what Paul and Silas see before them? This jailer in Acts 16, renowned for being an enforcer to those in the inner cell where Paul and Silas are. But again, what do you say if you're Paul and Silas? Here is this man standing before you, known for his strength, known for instilling fear in prisoners, known for his ability to break people. Now he stands here in verse 29. Well, actually, he now stands fallen, trembling. How do you answer him as Paul and Silas? Well, here are three possible ways. The first one, if you read the rest of the chapter, they may have said, well, mate, that's your problem. We are actually Roman citizens in here who were not tried justly. Secondly, they might have said, look, we're just too hurt to know how to respond to that question. Or finally, they might have said, look, that's a great question. We've got sort of some church leaders back in Antioch and Jerusalem, and look, they might explain to you what you need to do. Well, what do they actually say? Let's look at it again. Paul and Silas, eyes now full of confidence, where earlier they probably cowered before these men as they were stripped and beaten. But they say convincingly to him in verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Now, what do you notice about their answer? Did you notice there was no maybe saved or possibly saved or probably saved? Salvation is offered here in the simplest possible way. Believe Jesus saved, or trust Christ rescued, or depend Lord freed. I wonder if we sometimes complicate it. How? Might be something like this. Yes, there are many belief systems out there. Well, yes, I agree. Yes, Jesus is one of many great teachers. Or we might feel the pressure and go, yes, Jesus is just one of many paths that are open to all faiths. Could even be something like this. Well, I think you ought to think about creationism. Or, well, sexuality is important, or even I think a vaccinated community would. Now, these are all important questions to wrestle with, but we mustn't overcomplicate issues for people that are exploring Christianity. We need to present the gospel with the penetrating simplicity that Paul and Silas did in a moment's notice. A friend of mine in pastoral ministry urges Christian leaders to ensure we're not opposed to inviting gay and lesbian men and women into our church gatherings, that they might meet Jesus and be saved. If they turn to Christ, and only then if they turn, do we explore with them life's God's call for their life on them in the gospel, whether gay, lesbian, bi, or heterosexual. We don't complicate the issues, we present Jesus simply. So, is the communicating the gospel simple for our culture? Yes. Is the gospel complicated for presenting to our culture? Yes. Can you share the gospel quickly? Yes. Can you share the gospel over a long time? Yes. Can you share the gospel in 7 seconds? Well, here we go. Time me. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Yes. Can you share the gospel in 7 minutes? Yes. Can you share the gospel in 7 hours? Well, let me tell a story from you. This is from Sam Chan's book, How to Share the Gospel, or How to Share Jesus Without Being That Guy. But he tells the story of being on a flight. He was hoping and praying that he could just zone out for this flight. But he ended up sharing the gospel with a guy for the entire flight. So you can share it in 7 hours. Can you share it over 7 weeks? Well, yes, you can, as we saw in the Christianity Explored course that we've been running this term. Can you share the gospel over a lifetime with someone? Yes. Rico Tice, the founder of Christianity Explored, pretty much says that for the average Aussie or average POM, they will need a close friend, a close Christian friend, to remove a host of blockages that they have, humanly speaking, for them to be in a position to understand why we need Jesus to be saved. So even in the simplicity of the gospel message, we shouldn't be surprised that Paul and Silas joined the jailer across the road in his home and went on sharing God's word with him and his whole household. And we see that there in verse 32. Have a look at it. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. So we wouldn't be surprised or shocked that Paul and Silas didn't take them across many parts of God's word to help them to better understand this salvation. Can you think of some passages that they might have turned to in their parchment? Can you remember across the term what sort of passages he might have used? Well, they might have used, Paul and Silas. Just looking at our panelists. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 12, Exodus 19, Hosea 1 to 2, Luke 1 to 2, 2 Corinthians 4, and Revelation 21 and 22. Now, whatever part of God's word they took them to and spoke to that jailer that night, we don't know. But we do know the gospel has been released from the inner cell. It's been welcomed into this European home in Philippi. And in verse 34, joy has arrived and would be bound to this jailer's life for the rest of it. What a day for this jailer. He started out at the start of the day, he thought he was the one who controlled lockdowns. But by the end of the day, he discovers, in fact, he is the one who has been locked down and he desperately needed saving. Some of you may remember David Robinson. He was a guest speaker we had on a Food for Thought Sunday on Zoom last year. But he's got a book called Magnificent Obsession. And in it, in the final chapter, he recounts the time he was asked a question by an atheist following a short talk he did in Chelmsford, which is 1 hour northeast of London. And the man yelled out at him, "Who do you think you are?" And David Robertson responded by saying, "What do you mean? Are you suggesting that because I'm not an Oxford Don or a Cambridge professor, but a simple Presbyterian from Scotland, that I'm not worthy of debating? Or are you asking me a more esoteric question?" He laughed and said, "The latter." And the atheist continued. He said to David, "You were just one in 6 billion people on a tiny planet in the midst of a vast universe." Now, David Knudsen stops at this point and says, "Great question." And so he finished the night with this answer to the gentleman. He said, "You are right. In your atheistic philosophy, I am nothing. I am, according to Bertrand Russell, just a blob of carbon, just floating along in one meaningless existence to another. But in the Christian understanding of the world, I am someone for whom the Son of God loved and died for me. My life outside of Christ has little meaning, but in Christ, it means everything." Now, David said, as the man left that night, he thought David's answer was excellent. And he said to David, "If only it was true." The jailer in Acts 16 believed it to be true. Do you? "What must I do to be saved?" is described by one Christian leader as the most important question in the New Testament. But as we've journeyed across the Bible this term, you might argue it is the most important question in the Bible. I wonder if you do believe that. What is the Bible about? What is the heart of God's message in his word? What is God's message to this world? Well, listen to the English pastor John Stott try to capture it in a book he wrote called The Contemporary Christian. He says, "Do we profess to believe in the God of the Bible? He is a missionary God. Do we say we're committed to Christ? He is a missionary Christ. Do we say we're filled with the Spirit? He is the missionary Spirit. Do you delight in belonging to the church as a missionary society? Do you hope to go to heaven when you die? It is filled with the fruit of missionary enterprise. Across the Bible, Genesis through to Revelation, God has been at work saving our world by his Son, Jesus, in the power of the Spirit through his church. For as one church leader has said, Christianity, the church, is not a safe, smug, cozy, selfish, escapist community. On the contrary, it is deeply disturbing to our sheltered security. It has an explosive centripetal force which pulls us out from our narrow self-centeredness and flings us across God's world to witness and to serve. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas find themselves flung across the world into this European city, locked away in the inner cell. But that couldn't shackle their joy, could it? As they were praying and singing hymns to God, from the midst of their heartache, God intervenes, releasing them and the man who'd once bound them. Now he was free to know joy and forgiveness. Many of you may have heard of the Christian woman, Corrie ten Boom. She was imprisoned under the Nazi regime and saw her own sister die at the hands of the regime. In 1947, Corrie travelled to Germany from a home in Holland, with the message of God's forgiveness. At the conclusion of her talk that she gave in Germany, a heavy-set man with his hat in his hand approached her from the back of the room. When Corrie looked into his face, she instantly recoiled. He'd been one of the cruelest jailers. Not recognizing her, he extended his hand to Corrie, thanking her for her message on forgiveness. He said, you mentioned that camp in Germany. I was a jailer there. But since that time, I've come to know Christ. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips too. Fräulein, will you forgive me?" Forgive him? Corrie thought of her sister's suffering. She thought of her father who had died. But she also thought about Jesus who had saved her. Could Corey do what she had encouraged others to do by extending forgiveness? It's in the most difficult thing. However, she knew forgiveness was an act of the will in obedience to God. So she prayed for help to lift her hand into the jailers and forgive as Christ had forgiven her. When she obeyed, a warmth flooded her and tears sprang into her eyes. She had never known God's love so intensely as she did then. Until her death, Corey travelled the world and across nations, telling everyone she met of the good news of the gospel. Over and over, she told of Christ's love and how it extends into even the darkest places of human suffering. Corey died on her 91st birthday, and on the gravestone, it reads, "Jesus is victor." In the European city of Philippi, a jailer came to believe what Corey knew. Jesus is victor. Jesus saves. Well, let's pray that we might share that truth in homes across Lismore and Ganalaba and whatever LGA you now find yourself in, so that people would come to know the joy that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we do want to thank you for the simplicity of the good news, that Jesus died to bring us freedom, that Jesus offers us forgiveness, that Jesus offers us deep and lasting joy. Father, we are sorry that we can be silent about your salvation, not realizing the need for forgiveness across the world or the need of forgiveness in homes in our lives. Please help us to experience the forgiveness that we've received in Christ, to know the salvation we've personally received, that we might pass it on and prayerfully desire to see it known in lives across our nation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.